everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle. And hold on, let me put my foot up to the camera here, Kim. Jesus. Do you like my Jesus sandals? Are these doing anything for you?
Jasmine, I had to cover my eyes because seriously, no. And this, we were kind of spoiled on this toe sucking business, but
it was so much worse than I thought it was going to be, though.
It was appalling. Appalling.
It was so long. It was so long. When she uttered the word, and I might not be able to get it out, guys, so I'm sorry, but when she said the word cheese,
oh, gross, no.
The only scene in 90 Day Fiancé history, and I think it was maybe on HEA, could be wrong, was Sumit's mom doing the nose floss with the blood coming out.
God, that was the only thing. I'm not gonna sleep tonight.
That was the only thing worse than this. She was sexually attracted to Gino's feet while they were camping. They were camping.
It's offensive. It's shocking. Is it worse or better than referring to sperm as fish?
Oh, this was far worse. The fish was not great. But this also makes me kind of feel like any of the Jasmine walking in the house and being like, Gina, your house is disgusting. It's all performative.
Yeah.
Because she is willing to suck on this man's toe cheese while camping in a tent by a lake, bro. For like a minute, that scene was a minute plus long.
It was too long.
But can you imagine being their neighbor in this campground?
Ugh. Especially because they were fucking all night. And if his foot cheese is that bad, just imagine about his balls. I just want to throw it out there.
Stick cheese.
So gross. Oh God. Well, now that I have thoroughly made sure that none of us will sleep tonight after listening to this podcast, I would also like to issue a massive apology that last week, Kyle, we forgot to talk about Rob's 6 tarantulas. Single father he is now.
I feel like it was mentioned, but good Lord, that's a choice. You know, that's a choice.
Sure is.
That feels like something I wouldn't have guessed Rob. Well, you know, Kim, he's an animal lover. Okay.
Of course. That's why they're together. Sophie loves that he's an animal lover. It's what she was attracted to in the first place. Yes.
Having 6 tarantulas is something I would have guessed that like Ella from Idaho would be into. Not Rob.
This quick tangent. The funniest thing that happened in 90 Day Fiancé in the last 18 months is that Johnny finally made it from China to Idaho. And then literally within like 5 days, found some new lady in Arizona and like fucked off right away. It's so funny to me. It's great.
It's awesome.
Tarantulas. We'll talk about those. As I suspected and widely publicized in the season 10 tell-all, they are making Rob the sympathetic character. Sophie's mom, who was hilarious last season, is irking me now and like annoying me. And I see how she, like, why Rob dislikes her so. So, yeah, I don't know. Going downhill.
I think it's a fair question to ask. Is he addicted to porn or is he just an asshole?
Oh, that's a fair question. For sure.
We'll get into that. We'll talk about that.
Sophie's mom not knowing what gen fiction means is a little concerning.
She's never read a book. I didn't dislike her mom like that much because she was kind of a funny character. But I guess once the shtick wears off and you kind of just get this repetitive line of just constant hatred for Rob, she does become annoying because it's just kind of the same shit And that's what we're allergic to on this podcast, and why HEA is the least favorite, because the repetition can be absolutely brutal sometimes on this show. Yeah.
We need new crops of idiots, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we like. I will say though, that like thinking you're going to work on your problems by never speaking and not living together or ever seeing each other is kind of dumb.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if encouraging her to not go back makes any sense. Just, you would think from her perspective, the solution would just be just divorce, file for divorce. Right.
Exactly.
Why even bother arguing with, yeah.
I would agree. I assume it's visa related, but that's just a hypothesis, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody can convince me that Jasmine isn't angry about this honeymoon, or that they didn't take like a previous honeymoon to Kauai and this is like the fake honeymoon.
Yeah. And nobody is ever going to be able to convince me that they actually slept well. If I just don't believe it. Jasmine is not going to have a good night, like a good restful night's sleep in a tent with, it didn't even look like anything was below them. They didn't even have like a mattress pad or something on dirt in a KOA in Michigan. Cause you know, this woman's never fucking camped before.
Yeah.
So Gino shows up with two goddamn like Starbucks cups because it's a KOA. And that's what fucking happens. I kind of just don't even believe that they slept in that tent.
I was just going to say, what do you think the over-under is on if they slept at home and just set up the tent for filming?
Complete bullshit. They looked refreshed.
Yeah.
They looked totally fine in the morning. I just don't buy it.
I agree. It could be a KOA that's like 5 minutes from his house.
I'm sure it is. Know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That song that was playing during Rob's like sadness as being a single dad with his tarantulas is a David O'Dowda song. And it sounded like Justin Vernon for like a hot second. And I was like, holy shit, we have come so far from vaguely racist Asian song with open source license to like actual music on the show. This is impressive. And I mean, this guy has like written songs for like The Walking Dead and Love is Blind and Queer Eye and a lot of like big shows. So just like slow clap. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for introducing better music than we've
heard.
I'm
shocked that they're investing in HEA at all.
Maybe they're just upping their game generally. That's what we can hope for. But I liked the song. I was like, I got to look up that song.
You know, once you get a taste of the production values, you say what you want about the actual content, but the production values on most of the streaming reality shows just feel a lot more polished.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, these shows take on like a cheap feeling that it's a style. It's a Matt Sharp style, right? And whatever. It's never really going to change and it's fine. But it is, I do wonder if they're ever going to try to change some of that stuff to, maybe catch up is the wrong way to put it, but just compete at a different level with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I have another question for you, and it's somewhat, this involves like tinfoil or just, I don't know if you've read or heard, I have not read any information since probably about 2 weeks ago when we went through these charges kind of in detail on the Patreon episode. But do you think Angela's been pulled from the season because of the abuse allegations for Michael?
No. And I think that's just because there's still was, I don't recall anything in the previews. This time, but in the very first episode season, like this season on, she was featured.
Okay.
But it is interesting that, you know, Angela is usually one of their big ratings draws. And she's the most bombastic and sometimes the most viral part of the show. Mm-hmm. It is interesting that there's not a whole lot of her. Well, obviously no scenes yet in the first two episodes and very little in the previews as well. And it doesn't seem like she's going to be in the next episode either.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's what I watched the next time on and I'm like 3 episodes in and no Angela and Michael. Like I'm shocked unless they're still filming the outcome of this, you know, Michael's escape and going to the police. And I would assume once he has escaped to the police, filming cannot legally continue, but that's just a guess, you know?
Dark. I don't know. They filmed some really strange Love After Lockup stuff didn't sit right, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on. It is our time. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
You ready to talk about these sexy Jesus sandals or what?
Dude, I'm still disturbed. Jasmine, I will never believe that she cares about cleanliness ever again.
No, me neither. So gross. She put that toe in her mouth, but like really dug in there, like COVID swab up in there.
I keep thinking about the average Michigan KOA goer. And you know, you're living your best life, traveling America, you're retired. You know, you're just going from KOA to KOA. You're really enjoying the kind of glamping lifestyle. You're parked your big RV that you paid like $80,000 out of your retirement for. And yeah, maybe you've invited your grandkids to come hang out and stay with you. And then there's an entire film crew filming a tent site with two complete maniacs. You got lighting rigs, you got producers, you got camera crews. The flap to the tent is open in the middle of the night while you're trying to enjoy a nice s'more and play bridge with your buddies, Gladys and Rob Roberto. And then all of a sudden, you got these bright ass lights shining into a tent and you see a woman with complete enormous fakers sucking on an ugly old bald man's toes. And enjoying it.
Yeah.
For like minutes. How long do you think she was actually sucking on the toes in real life? Because we know that these scenes, they got to shoot multiple times. They got to try some different stuff out. There could have been outtakes. She could have been sucking on Gino's foot for an hour, dude.
Kyle, that's a great question. I'm so glad you asked. I have thought about this at length. Well, since the 3 minutes, between the 3 minutes that we stopped watching this episode and started recording this podcast. So I think at least 7 takes. So if it was 10 minutes each, I would go for 70 minutes of toe sucking. Do you think she's a fungal infection in her mouth now? Like, did she get thrush from
she's
this?
She's thrush.
I don't even know if that's medically possible.
And then you find out that like the dog's there the entire time too.
Jeez. Do you know he wears open-toed shoes in a KOA?
Yeah.
Like for those of you who have never been to a KOA, you are like on top of each other. Like the tents are very close together.
So it's a shitty corporate campsite. It's like way too manicured. A lot of KOAs are simply just parking lots. This one at least looked like you had some dirt to put your tent on and they had a little bit of elbow room. They probably put them in the nicest campsite because this was essentially an advertisement.
But, well, I was thinking they probably rented out like the surrounding campsites as well. And there was a pond. There was a pond. So
yeah, but all you need to know about KOA camp life is when Gino shows up with coffee he got from a coffee shop. That's not camping.
I know.
Go fuck yourself. It's very upsetting.
I have to say that also Jasmine was wearing like silk pajamas in the morning. Nobody wears silk pajamas camping.
I'm telling you, I think they went to a hotel. I just don't buy. I don't buy for a second. Who can sleep on the ground when you're camping? No. If you've never camped before in your life and you're almost 40, that's a fucking psychopath. That's who.
How does she sleep on the ground when like the butt is sensitive from the butt implant and it could burst at any moment? If she sleeps on her belly, those boobs are definitely going to deflate. I'm just saying, it's not the logistics. Don't work out, folks. It doesn't.
I feel like if she slept on the hard ground, just thinking about the physics of how much bigger her butt is, I feel like she would slip a disc in her lower back, just laying flat on her back for any amount of time.
She needs like lumbar support. I mean, that's yeah.
She needs to sleep with a basketball in her lower back to be flat on the ground.
I wouldn't know because I don't have an ass. So these are new problems I have not been challenged with.
There was no problem getting the fish though.
Ew, why does she call it fish? Ugh. That grossed me out.
They swim.
I guess. She's like, what if I put a finger in your ass? And that was too far. I was like, finger in an asshole is way less offensive than toe sucking for over an hour.
Again, while camping.
Yes, it's true. It is useful to have a sink nearby if you're going to do either of these things, just to stress, good hygiene. So Jasmine's real. I'm always thrown off when I see Jasmine happy. And, you know, in the morning, she's so chipper. And I'm just like, who is this person? But hey,
that's
Kyle,
how you know this is bullshit, bro.
That's true. But Kyle, she's ovulating.
Ovulating.
Throwback to 2018, love after lockup.
You ovulating.
She is ovulating. And she has a whole chart to explain said ovulating.
Good for her.
For six days. You know, it is annoying when men say this about makeup too. I watched a hilarious Instagram reel the other day that was like what men think all natural is, or like the no makeup look. And she like continues to do her makeup and there's like 27 products involved, but she kind of looks natural. Like she's not doing makeup. And she's like, this is what men think no makeup is. And it's just really cracked me up. But Gino does the old like man thing where he's like, well, let's just do it naturally and let's not force it. And we'll just fuck a lot. Maybe it'll happen or maybe not. You're young. Have some faith. I'm like, these are all the wrong things to say that somebody that has struggled with fertility in the past.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Like, she's older. She's struggled in the past. You kind of have to do the ovulation strips. You kind of have to like know when that prime period is. And I mean, she does say we need to like bang six times during this one day. I was like, that's a lot. That seems
excessive. You know, sperm generation, a little bit of diminishing returns, you know, but yeah, we had to use the strips.
Yeah. Most people do.
Yeah. Well, especially if you're over 30.
Yeah.
And it's just easier to, especially if you're like Gino and you have performance problems and you get in your own head. And he doesn't even seem that really interested in sex broadly. Why wouldn't you want to like be able to say, okay, for these days, I'm going to save it up. I'm going to save my energy and make sure we dedicate these 3 days to working on it. Unless you just honestly didn't care that much about having a kid.
Yeah. It's a great question.
And you're effectively just punting. the natural way is literally this. If you understand how it works, it's always strange. Like, this guy's a 50-year-old engineer and he doesn't understand how this works. I don't know. It's
shocking stuff. But it's so frustrating to hear, you know, all these things he says about, you're young, it'll just work out, it'll just happen naturally. Like, those are such, I think, frustrating things to hear, you know?
Now, he didn't know. The only thing I'll say is he didn't know that she had fertility problems until he already ran his mouth a bit, and then she told him. Yeah. But still, like, you're young. I mean, 38, your chances are already reduced at least 75% mm-hmm. at that point. It's obviously very possible, but it's not... given how much that it seems like they have sex just normally, you're really stretching out the time that this is going to take potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. This last scene with Gino and Jasmine, the lawyer, was kind of, she calls her mom and her sister. They're taking care of her kids. The sister tells her that her youngest son, like, doesn't want to tell her that he's super sad. And this is what I gathered what the sister said about Gino, is basically, you left this super important process to get your kids to the States with Gino, and he's dumb.
Objectively, a stupid person.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is sad. But she's also bummed because her mom is sick. And she can't go see her, I don't think, because it takes a long time to get your change of status or whatever you call that, adjustment of status. She can't travel out of the country, you know, for a while. We've seen this happen to people in the past that wanted to go home and they didn't have their green card yet. So, you know, she's upset about her mom. At least she can send her money to pay for the tests. But then we find out from Anthony, the lawyer, that Gino, I mean, tell me your interpretation of this. Gino kind of filled out the paperwork incorrectly.
That's how it sounded. I think some of this, this was an interesting scene because I think some of this did have to do with the lawyer trying to actually pitch their long-term services. This felt like a little bit of a sales job.
It did, right? He's like, I know you're an expert. If you weren't
a fucking moron, you would have known. Like, okay. Right. But I did think it sounded like he did make, I don't know if a mistake is the right word, but he filled out the, it did feel like he indeed filled out the paperwork in a misinformed way. Gino was overconfident about it because he had gotten his first wife here, but she didn't have kids to bring over. And he could have easily consulted with a lawyer like this meeting. He could have easily asked 5 questions, paid for time, you know, paid a couple $100, not retained the lawyer, but just gotten some legal advice about how to broadly fill the application out. But he didn't. And I think it was a little bit of ego, and he wanted to save money and be as cheap as possible. And what it felt like, the way I understood it, is if he would have put the kids on the application, there was a way to essentially punt on getting them their visas until they were ready to bring them over. So Jasmine could have come without the kids.
Right.
And then the kids still would have came later. Is it what it sounds like? My uninformed guess before this episode would have been, if you put the kids on, everyone has to come at the same time. But apparently that's not the case.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if we've ever seen, I know that there, oh my gosh, I cannot remember his name because he's so forgettable, but I think her name, she was either from Ukraine or maybe Russia, and she had the little boy. This is from like season 2. And I just remember because they were on the COVID special, and remember she like made him take off his clothes like outside of the house before he like transferred inside.
Oh, that was Steven and Olga.
No, it wasn't Steven and Olga. It was
that was, but that was the taking the clothes off outside COVID special.
Oh, thing. It was. You're right.
Because he was delivering pizzas.
That's right. She, God, I cannot remember this woman's name, but their main storyline was that she didn't say I love you until basically the day before they got married. They lived in some Midwestern place, I believe, or maybe Michigan. But she's, God, I want to say she's Russian. Her son came with her, and that was part of their storyline. And I think her son was about 6 or 7 years old. So I, from my recollection, I don't know anybody from like the standard 90 day storyline, like OG storylines that brought a kid.
Well, our Facebook group will tell us 7 examples that we can't think of because we have goldfish brain.
Yeah, that's true. But
that should just be a whole segment in our podcast.
Things we don't remember.
We need to fill a little bit more time during HEA. So let's have a goldfish brain from the last episode, apologies and corrections segment from now on.
I love that. I am wrong about most things. I do. I mean, do you think Gina's going to...
I am too. The difference is I'm overly confident about the things I'm wrong about.
Do you think Gina's going to pay a lawyer to get this done right?
Shit. I mean, he does have a lot of things on his plate right now. Because now they may have to pay for some kind of fertility treatment for her. Having a kid is expensive, even if they do get pregnant, naturally. And he doesn't have a job. And now he has to pay a lawyer and other fees to get the kids over. God knows how much actually filing it will be, too. It's not just a lawyer. So their storyline is coming together for HEA. And it's basically, there's a shitload of things that Jasmine needs and wants to have happen, and Gino doesn't have a job and is running out of money. I think it's all just going to be about fighting about money. But of all the things that they have going on, this does feel like the one thing that could be a deal breaker if it's not prioritized.
She really does seem like she might go home. It's so hard to tell when Jasmine is acting and when she's real.
This does seem like way more important than having another kid.
Oh, yeah. Why would you have another kid when you don't even have your 2 existing kids with you?
I wonder if that changes her calculus on getting the fish after this.
All right. Emily and Kobe.
I'm glad they didn't waste any time getting to Cameroon. They didn't drag this shit out.
So happy. I could have done without the 5-minute scene of like children in planes just like kicking the seat and like squirming around. I have to say though, that kids in various flights footage or montage was brutal for me to watch because like that's my nightmare. Like I get super stressed out when I have to take my kid on a plane. I just like I have very little patience, not very little patience, but just like very, I get very anxious, you know, when some, like if I'm disturbing other people, right? Mm. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it when your kid's on a plane because they are contained. I remember Nick Cage, he was
you're
like,
worried about like distressing the other passengers more than,
Oh, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. I remember the first time Nick Cage went on a plane and he was so excited for like 30 minutes and it was like a 4-hour flight. And then after 30, he's like, okay, I'm done. And I was like, yeah, we can't get off this thing now, but it's in the air. So
totally.
But Emily, I know people like are generally annoyed with her, but she just seems super chill to me. She seemed like one of those moms that's like always chill. Nothing phases her. I feel like she could have 5 kids and still be like pretty relaxed. And that is like the polar opposite of how I am. And I'm kind of a little jealous of that.
Yeah, my son has always been a good flyer. I think he is completely enthralled with the concept of air travel broadly. He's just like when he was littler, I think until 4, maybe even 5, when you were waiting at the gate, he's just like, look at that airplane. That airplane's landing. It's taking off, Daddy. Just like losing his shit. Yeah. And he probably had a good 2 hours before he would get bored of just looking out the window. And then I have no compunction at all about just plopping a screen in front of a kid during a flight. So never really had issues with him flying. But yeah, the only thing I've ever, he's never had like a tantrum, but yeah, I probably would be the same level of anxiety about other people's flight. The only thing I've ever had to correct him on is like, don't kick the seat in front of you, shit like that, you know, that, yeah. Because obviously, you know, as a tall person, I am already insanely uncomfortable on any flight, no matter what. And then everyone's had someone kick their seat and it make you about to fly into a rage. So,
yeah. Your son's taller than me, I think. So
it's all pretty close.
Probably pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I am like this. I never fault these people for being weird and rude when they're coming off like a 30-hour flight, because I get grumpy too. I'm like hangry. I'm tired. I feel like you have that like greasy film on your skin after you're flying for that long. Emily was like, "Hey, what's up, best friend of Kobe?" I'm like, "Really? You are so friendly and bubbly right now. You had two kids for 30 hours of flying, like." I just got to give her props. I don't think I could do it. Maybe she's drunk. That would be the only way you could be in that good of a mood.
What are they drinking? Are they shit-faced? What drugs are they giving themselves and the kids? Was she able to sleep on the flight at some point? 21 hours of travel?
I thought it was 31.
It was a lot. It was 14 hours before they even got on the international flight.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It was so far.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like, what did you think? What did you think of like the 14 porters, like one per suitcase?
Yeah. I mean, I've never traveled anywhere where that wasn't just like a straight scam, you know? Mm-hmm. I've had that happen in like Nicaragua. And the advice that I had read is just politely ignore them and move on. Don't do anything. It seemed like it's a cultural expectation there to just let them do whatever.
Well, they had like official shirts on. It made me think that they were like airport employees and that it was like a government requirement that you had to have people like deal with your luggage or something.
Maybe. But then it was a little bit confusing because when the mob starts mobbing around Kobe, at first, I thought it was the porters like demanding tips or something.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it just turns out that they're just straight up people begging for money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, Kobe explained a little bit. I would have liked for him to talk about this a little bit more, but he said it's like an expectation of when they see like people coming from abroad, just like kind of throw them a few bucks.
If you can afford to get on a plane, you're already probably more wealthy than a lot of the people that live in the entire country.
Yeah.
Much less you're coming in with a bunch of white people.
Yeah. Yeah. But they get into an enormous rental car, which I'm glad that it looked very nice. And they go to a hotel. But then in the morning, it's time to go shopping. Matchy matchy outfits.
I thought his friend's take on the whole relationship was interesting. First of all, he says Kobe found a white lady at the club.
Yeah, Valerie was funny.
It was funny that his judgment of white women in general, he admits, is just straight from movies. Like it's just from movies, but he still is convinced that white women be bossy
and arrogant. Don't forget arrogant.
Yeah. 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 I wonder if Matt Sharp had him say that because that's going to be the plot line here.
Oh, I'm sure. And I mean, to be fair, like that's kind of like an American cultural thing. Some of it is just, I don't know, have you ever been an American in a room with like a bunch of Europeans and you're just like loud and kind of obnoxious and like too much? And people perceive that as bossy and arrogant sometimes. And it's just kind of a cultural thing. I don't know.
I mean, to answer your question, no, I haven't left my house in 5 years. So
sorry. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
the shopping, was it dad, father Emily that almost immediately made the Wakanda comment?
Oh man.
I was like, did I hear that correctly? Quick rewind. Yes, I did. Oh wow.
What does anything that you're doing have anything to do with Wakanda?
I don't know, Kyle. I was going to ask you if you had any insight.
Wakanda. Yeah. Anytime I see a group of black people, I just scream Wakanda. You know, it's never gone bad.
Oh, sounds normal. I have to say, at least Emily and her family expressed concern that perhaps this was cultural appropriation and they maybe should not be wearing these Cameroonian clothes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that it is, because first of all, Kobe told them that their culture would actually super appreciate it. But it is, I think kudos to her for even it occurring to her that it might be weird.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen this before. We've seen David and like of David and Annie in at least 15 different Thai outfits, which are special made for him. And oh my God, do you remember Riley in Vietnam and they were talking shit about him to Taylor? That was great. But it is like, it is uncomfortable. I've been in this situation before where, you know, they wanted me to wear like traditional clothes. It's very uncomfortable, but Kobe wanted them to do it and said that his family would love it. So like, what do you say? You know, I don't know.
And look, I mean, the locals clearly are laughing their asses off at Father Kobe or Father Emily wearing the traditional garb over his clothes, which is hilarious. God,
he looks ridiculous.
He looks, but I kind of loved look it. Great.
It's so great. Funny. I hear a lot about new sleep hacks these days. My friends are all using like these new fancy noise machines and keeping sleep logs and buying new blackout blinds and curtains to make their rooms darker. They're always trying to get me to try out these little hacks, but I've already transformed my sleep with Boll & Branch. Boll & Branch makes the softest, most breathable bedding you'll ever feel. And right now you can take 20% off everything during their best sale of the entire season. That's 20% off their buttery sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and much more. They're made with the highest quality 100% organic cotton and are yours to try with their 30-night worry-free guarantee. I've had Boll & Branch sheets for a few months now, and I love them more and more every night. I've read so many reviews. I think there's over 11,000 reviews saying that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash, but it really is true. They're really softer today than when I first got them. I didn't believe that would be true at first, but it is. And these incredible sheets definitely have made a difference in my sleep quality. It's so nice to get into a bed made with Boll & Branch sheets at night. It just feels so luxurious. And we spend a lot of our lives in bed, so don't we deserve some luxury there? Boll & Branch signature sheets are the perfect way to start upgrading your sleep. They come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King. They're also, importantly, made without toxins. They're free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals. And if you're thinking, well, aren't all sheets free from these really gross pesticides? No, they're actually not. Some sheets are made with this crazy stuff like formaldehyde and harsh chemicals, but never Boll & Branch sheets. Also, they have a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. And if you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch during their best sale of the entire season. Get 20% off your order when you use promo code CRAYCRAY. That's BollAndBranch.com. BollAndBranch.com. And use promo code CRAYCRAY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Who are we? Let's go Rob Sophie.
Sure.
All right. So Rob and Sophie, not a ton here. As soon as Sophie left and didn't live with him anymore, he got a duvet. So congratulations.
Yeah, this is like Mike from Squam moving to Seattle immediately after Natalie leaves.
Seriously. There's this whole scene where after they leave the selfie place, by the way, did they even address, I can't even remember on episode one, that they moved to Austin?
Yeah, but or they didn't
did they
really
expect us to know that from the tell-all.
No, they moved. I think they addressed it, but it was very like right after the wedding we moved, and that was kind of it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because we haven't just gotten a lot of conversation about, I don't have any friends here, I don't know anybody here. I mean, clearly Sophie does. She was on that Tinder, you know, the friends part of Tinder, getting right. Friends. But Rob seems to be all alone with his spiders. So, yeah. Rob has the new car as well. Did you notice? Looks like a RAV4 or something similar. Hashtag Kyle's Carfax.
I didn't pick up on the new car. I wasn't paying attention to the car arrival. You seem to be right now in the camp that Rob is coming off better, or his edit is better.
I think his edit's better a little.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he just hasn't necessarily had occasion to show his true shittiness. But I still don't really get the sense, based on the way that argument escalated and ended, that he really, I just have a hard time thinking that he really believes he did anything wrong.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I don't think Rob is any less shitty than he was before. And he probably, yeah, he very well may have a porn addiction. But my argument is just that the edit is so strong, and we're so easily manipulated. I mean, I'm talking about myself as well. Like, I just listened to that, interview with Jimmy and Chelsea from Love is Blind. And you know how we were like, we're all like super hardcore team Jimmy, you know, people were super annoyed with Chelsea the whole season. And then you listen back, and one of the things that she was super insecure about, you know, was that female friend that he had slept with. And then you learn through the edit that he had actually introduced her to like 12 male friends as well, but they only showed the two female friends that she met and not the 12 dude friends that she met on this. So I'm just saying, like, these things are manipulated constantly to make us think a certain way or tell a certain story.
Based on that story you just told, unless I'm missing something, I feel like even more team Jimmy now.
No, you're right. Okay. That's a bad example.
Wait a minute. What am I missing?
Damn it. Ah! So frustrating. But yeah, I don't know. I think Sophie's mom's a good example. You know, we didn't hear anything about Sophie's upbringing in the previous season and how Sophie had to take care of her mom. Like, we were made to be team mom right away because she was coming in hot. We didn't like Rob, you know, and she was giving him shit, calling him Rob the Knob. Now I kind of understand how she's probably a little irritating, and who knows? Yeah. The truth is somewhere in between. Probably all these people suck, but it is really interesting. They craft a narrative and they lead us in the direction when they want us to go. And we fall for it every time. I am including myself.
It's very believable that Sophie would take any advice that her mother gives her at face value and not really trust her opinions on like anything. So when mom is going on about he's never going to change and you know he's addicted to porn, I think you can very clearly see her thought process was like, nothing you say is credible, and B, like you've made so many awful decisions in your life. Maybe her mom would say, well, I know that I've made lots of mistakes. That's why I can see a mistake when I see it. But she doesn't really make that argument.
I know I kind of mentioned this in the intro, but I don't really understand the thought process of, well, I'm not going to move back in because I want to work on our problems, but we're not going to work on our problems because I literally haven't talked to him in 2 months. Like, what does she expect to happen? She keeps saying, like, I don't know if Rob's a porn addict or just a dick who watches porn. I want him to work on, like, what outcome is she looking from Rob to make progress? You know, it's unclear.
It's frustrating because on this episode, she also literally said, I thought he would have changed with the distance.
Yeah.
But when has he ever changed? He basically can talk a really good game for 5 minutes and make you feel all Twitter-pated when you reconnect with him. He does, to his credit, he usually is the one that reaches out and offers an olive branch, but he hasn't actually changed. He just doesn't want to break up.
Yeah.
And I guess he wants to fight for the relationship. That's good, I guess. But she just seems to forget every single... She's just making the same mistakes in a cycle over and over again. Yeah. And in terms of, like we were talking about earlier, if the choice is... If you really do want to try to make it work, you're married. You're going to live together for the rest of your life if you stay with him. So how could you really know if you could make it work unless you live with him again?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I think she should just divorce him. I mean, her mom is team divorce. Mom's like, he won't change. He's a knob. He has a porn addiction. He'll never change. Hard line. Mom's taking a hard line.
You know, Rob is still, I don't know. Do you think that Rob has grown at all during this relationship?
No.
Yeah. He's in his 30s. He's had, it's been like 2 years at this point. The problem is, and the frustrating part about this whole thing is we are almost certainly spoiled about their relationship status as of fairly recently, because of the tell-all being filmed for last season being filmed after this.
See, I disagree. I feel like they may have been broken up on the tell-all. How do we know they were together?
I think they were pretty clearly together. You think they may have just been faking it being together?
I didn't see any affection between them.
There's rarely any affection between them broadly, though.
That's true.
Except for the first 5 minutes that they get back together. And even then, I don't even know if I'd call it tension, affection. It's more like sexual tension.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Everybody says that, but I'm like, we have no evidence that they were absolutely together during the tell-all.
One thing that Sophie said that was concerning is that she basically, like, as an excuse, or like almost like she's like defending Rob about the porn thing to her mom. She just says, I just think he wants attention. And to me, that's actually kind of worse.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes. I feel like I'd rather have a porn situation going on than constantly needing some kind of attention or validation from other women, real women all the time.
Totally. Couldn't agree more, because that means it's going to continue. And I mean, if that's the case, because Rob has some like trauma from something that happened, like he just needs to get some therapy around that. But I mean, probably either way, he probably needs to talk to somebody. But yeah. Let's talk Ashley Emanuel.
Sure. There's only one scene here, but yet again, we have, what is this? Like the seventh Ashley meltdown in a moving conveyance. I feel like she should not ever travel over 30 miles an hour.
I have the same note. Yeah. I'm like, why is she always melting down in the car? Like maybe she just doesn't like to drive. Maybe Manuel just needs to get his driver's license and let's have him drive from now on. That would be safer for everyone.
Totally.
But I
it's,
did.
It's the same kind of, I don't know. What were your thoughts on this scene? I kind of felt like it was a repetitive thing a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's just the same, like, we've been married for a year. I have no connection to your children. Why isn't it a priority for me to meet your kids? It's a valid concern. Manuel keeps saying the same thing, too. Like, there hasn't been an opportunity. I'm like, every time you talk with your kids, it's an opportunity. And Ashley speaks Spanish. She can talk to his kids. And I don't know. I mean, maybe he's trying to ease her into it. He says, you know, they're 12 and 14. They've had a really hard time with my move to Rochester. But yeah, you've got to like bring her in at some point. I don't know what he's waiting for. He doesn't even say like, I'm waiting until it's been a year. I'm waiting until XYZ happens. It's just not happening.
It's one thing if you're Ashley to get excuse after excuse and be irritated about it. Like, I get that. But what would be really distressing about it to me is it doesn't seem like there's, as you kind of said, it doesn't seem there's any actual plan here to, like, what is he waiting for? And if he could tell her that, then maybe she could see that, like, there's a milestone coming up.
Yeah.
That we could move past. So I don't, it would be really disturbing that there's not even a plan of attack here.
Kyle, isn't she a psychic or something? Can't she like channel the children through their like vibrations when Mercury's in retrograde or something like that? I don't know. Seems like that should be easy. She's a witch. I just want to point out too, this occurred to me as I was watching this, that it is weird that Manuel basically did the exact same thing that Jasmine and Larissa did, but people are constantly making noise about the women that do this and not the men, which is he abandoned his kids. I mean, I don't know how it's any different. Like, Larissa left and married what's-his-face, Colty. Jasmine left and married Gino. Neither one brought their kids. And all we heard about on social media was they left their kids. They left their kids. They left their kids. Manuel did the same thing, yo. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's not different. I love their fight when they got home. They were just like, he was like, don't bother me. You're drama.
So dumb. Dramatical.
Yeah.
Well, countdown, right. The 5-minute countdown to sex begins.
Yeah, seriously. We had also a short scene with Mahmoud arriving. This was awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know if the dude was just tired. I think he's generally uncomfortable on camera. But like, he is clearly so miserable to be in the United States. I don't even know why he came. What was your take on this?
I think the simplest explanation is that, yeah, he's tired, but I honestly think he gets off the plane, he sees Nicole's midriff, and it just puts him in a shitty mood. And he just can't move past it. It's like, he probably feels like, exactly what I feared is happening. She is living as a non-Muslim in my mind in Los Angeles, and she's going to assert that she's not going to change just for me. And maybe a part of him was thinking that she would carry over some of the things that she did in Egypt when she moved back to America, and clearly that didn't happen. And I think that's why he's just upset. And so he's just nitpicking every little thing in her apartment and her life and whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he does immediately kind of zoom in on her clothes and says, like, cover your stomach or something along those lines. But he's also been in America 5 seconds and says in the car that he likes Egypt better and he misses Cairo already because it's too quiet. But it is like, I have to say, too, how do you feel about her? Like, the producer intervenes when she's kind of all over him and kissing him and stuff. I feel like Nicole had this expectation that it was Egypt. You know, Egypt was the problem. And once Mahmoud was in the United States, they could make out in public. She can wear all the clothes she wants, so it's not going to be a problem. What she doesn't understand is this is his belief system. It travels with him. So now that he's in the States, nothing has changed, in fact. He doesn't want to do, he doesn't want PDA. He doesn't want her to wear crop tops. You know, it's all the same problems have followed them, no matter the geography.
Yeah. Because she's delusional and not that smart.
Yeah, she's dumb. She's pretty dumb. I loved that he was uncomfortable around the mannequins. So funny to me.
Bizarre.
I don't know why it cracked me up.
There's just mannequins just aren't a thing in Egypt.
I guess not naked ones. I don't know. It's a piece of plastic.
Yeah. I think he's just being nitpicky and grouchy because one person saw a centimeter of her midriff at the at LAX. And the frustrating part is that it's a repetition of the same storyline we had before. This guy just can't move past this thing that he hates about his wife, even though she's never been comfortable changing, and he's known that from the beginning. And the difference here, I guess, is that she's on home turf and feels no cultural obligation to change herself.
Yeah. Other things Mahmoud hates. Pillows on the bed. Art, where Nicole has painted pubic hair on a person. And mannequins. And the pajamas that she gave him. He clearly hated those too. Say feeding somebody a frozen pizza their very first night in America is kind of a bummer.
Come on. You live in LA.
Yes.
Like, I get not wanting to go out for dinner. He's tired. But get some takeout. Yeah, you have some takeout ready.
You should have slept on the plane is the most obnoxious statement ever made.
That is bizarre. I've never been able to sleep on a plane my entire life. Plus, I mean, we don't know this for sure. This wasn't mentioned. I feel like there's a good chance Mahmoud has never been on a plane.
Yeah.
And so totally now you're saying the first time ever being on a plane or one of the few times and you're berating him, you're irritated at him for not being able to sleep. Fuck you, Nicole. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's strange.
It would just be so weird if I showed up after like a 20-hour flight and somebody told me, like, berated me for being tired because I didn't sleep on the plane. Like, nobody can sleep on a plane. There's people like hacking up who knows what all around you. The lights are on, the lights are off. There's not enough space. I mean, like, nobody sleeps on a plane. Neck's all weird. I don't know. Horrible.
I've never been able to do it. Doesn't matter how many edibles I take before getting on. It is impossible.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen. And I think she's irritated because she like throws that underwear at him, tells him to take a shower. I think she's way horny.
Oh, you're probably right. Yeah, he does not seem into her either. And I don't know if he was just uncomfortable with the cameras, if he's uncomfortable with like the public displays of affection, but he's not happy in these scenes. He could just be tired too. I don't know. We've never really seen the guy be a ball of sunshine, so.
No. Yeah. Except when she came out in the burkini.
Yes, I forgot about that. Shit. Kyle, do you have any final thoughts on the episode?
AGA is still okay. Really like Cameroon. Ready to pursue that storyline further. And I don't know, Rob and Sophie circling the drain. Not sure I'm excited about that, but overall, still having a good time. The Gino and Jasmine stuff is so fucking outrageous. Even if it's the most fake shit on the planet, it still gives us something to laugh at and talk about. So I'm here for it.
Yeah. I have to say, like, so far I've been fine. I'm just, it's been better than I thought. I'm really excited for Cameroon. Now, if only we can get somebody else to travel outside the country, that would be great. But I don't think it's going to happen. Like, can Rob go to England? Can Sophie, like, run off and then we get Rob to, like, follow her to England and maybe meet up with John Walters? That would be fantastic. Love it.
I want Sophie to run off to Italy and have three ways with this Adriano guy from the Love in Paradise trailer.
Well, he's looking. If the trailer's true, he's looking for some ladies. So
would you say he is seeking Kim?
If you're a Patreon member, stay tuned for Seeking Sister Wife. Otherwise, we will see you next week
on our B-Sides episode coming up. I'm traveling soon, so we're just going to knock out one thing and maybe talk about some Eve Dance. We're talking about Single Life Tell All Part 2 coming out early next week. And yeah, thank you to our sponsors. Kim, who are our sponsors this week?
Thank you to Bolin Branch. You can go to bolinbranch.com. Use code CRAYCRAY for 20% off your order. Thanks for listening. This is super fun, and we'll be back next week.
Boy, thanks for listening to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Join our community of Cray Crays by subscribing to our premium podcast feed for $5, either on Supercast or Patreon by visiting realitycraycray.com. Benefits include 3 times the podcast content you get now, ad-free, covering all other 90 Day Fiancé content, and our listener-requested favorite shows outside 90 Day. Access to our members-only Facebook group with thousands of 90 Day fanatics, our podcast archives with over 600 episodes, all ad-free, and you can listen to all of that on your favorite podcast player. With an optional subscription add-on, you also get access to our long-form documentary podcast, D-Sides, where we cover the latest streaming documentaries. You're almost there, lazy. Go to realitycraycray.com and sign up literally in seconds if you use Apple Pay. All the links I've mentioned are in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you next week.